broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, Liberty Roundtable, live from RedPillExpo.com. If you don't have your subscription yet, get it today. You'll be able to watch all the presentations for the next 60 days. Incredible value for your money. Incredible intelligence from the Patriot community. All available at RedPillExpo.com. And next up, we've got Del Bigtree. Well-known what? Film producer, talk show host. I mean, the litany of things he's doing is amazing. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Sam.
All right, so you launched the talk show, right?
I did. You know, it's sort of a dream. I was a producer on the CBS talk show, The Doctors, for 6 years and won an Emmy Award celebrating science and medicine. Then I made the documentary Vax, which basically catapulted me out of being able to do television.
Which I watched.
Yeah.
Then they decided they were going to jettison you because they couldn't take the heat. Is that it?
That's something like that.
Okay.
Well, I mean, all of your sponsors in television are pharma, or at least 70%
yeah.
of them. So if you are telling stories that don't go along with the narrative for pharma, then you're not wanted in television.
Even if you're telling the truth.
Especially when you're telling the truth.
All right. And so then you jettisoned that.
Yeah.
You were a big YouTuber and everything else for a long time, too, getting promoted, and then they decided to pull the plug, right?
YouTube pulled our plug about, almost 2 months ago now. We had, we'd built our show, thehighwire.com, every Thursday, 11 a.m. Pacific time on Thursday. And all of a sudden, the same week that the Frontline Doctors Summit took place in front of the Supreme Court.
Yeah, which the media never reported on, but we did.
We did. You did. You know, a lot
yes,
of us
sir.
Did. And that was 18 million views they got of that before it got pulled
freaked,
down.
And they freaked, didn't they?
They freaked out. They shut that down. And then 2 days later, we lost our YouTube account. And I think it was all a part of a blitzkrieg to try and, you know, get social media on board with the mainstream narrative, which is now we're just turning the internet into what the television already had as a problem. We're destroying the beauty of truth and the ability to speak to people around the world.
Can we survive?
We are surviving. We're winning. I think
we are winning, aren't we?
Yeah, I think that
they don't want us to believe that, but we are.
No, I mean, but you have to recognize what winning means, right? When you're winning, that means you're on the map, right? You're being attacked, and when you're being attacked, when they start burning books, when they start censoring, when they start dragging people out of the stands of football games simply for trying to breathe fresh air, you know you're seeing the end of a dying regime, and that is what's taking place.
Their panic is leading to incredible mistakes that even the average Joe, who may not have agreed with us in the past, are going, wait a minute, hold on. They used to say you're nuts. Now they say, how did you know?
Exactly right. And that's, you know, that's the beauty of the discussion I've been having. Of course, I'm so focused on vaccinations and the dangers of vaccinations. But this pandemic, this push to try and force vaccinate the world before they had a vaccine ready to go is the greatest gift I could have gotten. Remember, the pillar of vaccine, you know, the language around it has always been vaccines are safe and effective.
Lies.
Right. Well, and everyone bought that. I mean, if I put a billboard out there that said drugs are safe and effective, people would drive by going, are you crazy? Every drug safe and effective? That doesn't make any sense. But for some reason, they were getting away with that sort of mythological idea of a product made by pharma that was good for everybody. Now, because of the COVID-19 vaccine, the rush to make it to Bobby Kennedy once put it really well to me. He's like, they're trying to make the sausage in front of everybody. Nobody wanted to see how the sausage was made. Now the world is watching it. Now, for the first time, even mainstream media is talking about the dangers of a vaccine. If it's rushed, what could happen?
And they're literally even having to report now the failures along the way that we can see clearly the mistakes and the sickness and the devastation along the way, right?
The same devastation that's happened in every single vaccine trial but was never watched, was never
yes,
observed.
Sir.
Now the world is observing it. So it is really a gift that keeps on giving.
But all you got to do really to document the lie about safe and effective is bring up the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund since 1986 or whatever.
1986.
Billions and billions of dollars or whatever. And now to the point where, hey, how does that work? Special courts that then do payouts that nobody knows about, the media doesn't report on, the populace pays for and doesn't realize.
That's it.
And
it seems like you got
story,
a pretty good,
right?
Yeah, you got a pretty good bend on that. I mean, that's exactly right. We have a kangaroo court here in the United States of America that takes away all liability from a manufacturer of a product that's injected into our children. So
other than that, it's not so bad. Huh?
Not so bad, really, right? I mean, we're talking about, you know, it's really sort of three, you know, three serious problems that compound the issue around vaccines. Number one, you're not doing proper safety studies. You're not doing long-term safety studies the way you do on drugs.
And
you're not doing placebos.
And they can't, because if they did, the exposure would be instant.
Correct. So you're not doing the safety studies. Then number two, you're mandating this product upon all of us without a choice. We can't go to school. We can't, you know.
Which if it was real and effective, then you wouldn't need to mandate.
Well, so that's exactly the point. The number one, you don't have safety because you never established it. Number two, you're forcing it on us. And then number three, you take away liability. How does the government of the United States of America force a product onto us that we can't sue if it injures us and has never been through safety? If you took one of those categories and just reversed one of those categories, we may be in a space that would be acceptable. If you were doing proper safety studies that show this thing is absolutely safe for everybody, fine. Go ahead and mandate it, you know, and take away liability because you won't need it. But if you do have an issue with safety, then you've got to have liability. We have to be able to sue if you're going to force it on us. But I would say, number one, my goal is government should never be forcing any product on anybody on this planet that is not their space. We are not cattle. We are not farm animals. And that is the decision anyone makes. Anyone that supports removing exemptions from forced vaccination programs, then you simply believe that you have the rights of a cow or a goat. It's the only way you can look at it. If the government can inject you with products you have no control over, you just became a farm animal.
Interesting to me, in the pro-life movement, they say a woman has a right to her body. She can do what she wants when it comes to vaccines. They somehow want to be able to somehow split hairs and take the opposite approach.
Yeah, you have no right to your body. You have no right to body integrity. I don't want to control what goes into my child. You know, why even read the labels on any of the food you give your kids? Why even, you know, investigate, you know, whether a car seat is safe or not? You have toxic chemicals being injected in your baby, and you never asked one question, and now you want the government to take away your right to even ask that question? Anybody that votes that way, anyone that thinks that way, really has forgotten what the United States of America is founded on. Your right to choose, your right to thought, your right to body integrity, your right to speak out, your right to religious beliefs, medical choices. We cannot live in a world that allows the government to control our bodies, or we are now living in a fascist, communist, socialist, however you want to put it, but you are not living in a republic that expresses itself through freedom.
Del Bigtree with me, ladies and gentlemen. TheHighWire.com, his latest talk show. He just launched its video, right?
Yeah, you watch it every week. TheHighWire.com, we have 184 episodes now, and we have been dead right on the pandemic before everybody else
was. What do you do? Just build your own videos and then point to your website for them?
We go live on our website, TheHighWire.com. We're currently still up on Facebook, but they're threatening to take us down any day. We keep, you know, joining new spaces. I forget what they're called, but that's why we want people to sign our newsletter. Just go to TheHighWire.com, sign up for our newsletter, and we will always show you where you can find us live. We're on Roku now, so people are sitting in their living rooms. So you can get on Roku and watch it in your living room.
All right. So Vaxxed was an incredible documentary. Woke a lot of people up. Did a lot of good. They tried to shut that down and mock it. What's on the heels of that? What's next? Because there's whistleblowers coming out of the woodwork everywhere now, huh?
There are. And there's lots of great filmmakers out there. Of course, Mickey Willis has just jumped in the game with Plandemic, which has been, you know, amazing.
Incredible, sure.
I've had a great time getting to, you know, spend some time with him. But I'm more focused on The High Wire now. People say, when's your next documentary? I say, I do a two-hour documentary every single Thursday. If you want to know what's happening in the world of medicine and health, and especially this pandemic, where's the vaccine at? Where is the mask laws? I mean, last week I had two OSHA experts come onto the show and discuss how they train doctors to wear a mask and why masks will never stop this virus. So if you want that kind
of information. Hold on, let's be very clear about this, because this is one of the things they say. Well, wait a minute. If all the doctors who are some of the smartest people in the room are wearing masks, then it should be okay, right?
The doctors are outside of their area of expertise. They didn't design the mask. They don't really know how it works. In fact, it's OSHA experts.
But wait a minute, they're a doctor. They're supposed to know everything.
Well, that's exactly, you know, one of those fallacies that a lot of people believe. And the truth is, and I'm going to show it in the red pill today, that even the WHO admits that, like, when it comes to vaccines, a doctor is lucky if they get a half a day education in their entire 8 years. That is not a lie. I didn't make that up. That is the WHO that is involved in putting together the programs that train doctors. I think they are knowingly keeping them in the dark so that they'll be more like soldiers that will charge a bunker without asking any questions. But now too many parents are educated. Too many parents are going in to their doctor's offices, and when the doctors can't answer the questions, they're getting frustrated. They're screaming at their patients, and we're now seeing the weakness of the medical establishment as it's falling apart. These poor doctors have no education, no ability to defend what they're doing, and it's leaving them in a very, very difficult jam.
It's the same position doctors are in when it comes to nutrition, too. Very much nutrition training either. So what's interesting to me is they've literally jettisoned decades of documentation on the not need for masks, if you will, or the lack of valuable they provide. or validity they provide. And now they want to reverse that science and pretend they've got all these studies to make a difference. That exposes their deliberate agenda as well.
To at least people whose brains are working, right? I mean, we're watching a lot of people that go along with, but not only are they jettisoning, you know, decades of information, they're jettisoning, you know, 8 weeks ago when Tony Fauci said, masks are useless, they don't work, and then flip-flops. You had the one of the heads of the WHO saying masks don't work. You had the Surgeon General saying masks don't work. These same people are still in office. This happened in our lifetime. It happened in this decade. It happened this year. It happened within the last month or two of this pandemic. They're having to reverse course, which is proof we're winning. When you start watching the opposition that tries to say it's strongest, and they're the ones that have to keep eating their words, you know you're in a really great position.
What about the airborne aspect to this? You know, they claim it's airborne, but yet they don't really have scientific evidence. They don't have scientific method proving that. What they say is, well, we have circumstantial science, or we have, you know, some idea that, well, we think it is, and we think we have anecdotal evidence of this. When you back them into a corner on that, they melt down.
They melt down in every single discussion they've had. I mean, Tony Fauci, anyone that supports Tony Fauci, I say, name one thing, one truth that has lasted longer than 2 weeks. This man has had to shift his discussion every time he makes a statement, whether it's aerosolized or whether they're large water droplets, whether the mask stops large water droplets, or does it stop aerosolized. I mean, they can't keep to the same story, but the point is it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. This is a bunch of geeks that are overanalyzing something. Here's the truth. The death rate of COVID-19 is about a quarter of 1%. 0.26%, and that's really all sitting in one group over the age of 65 with at least 2.5 other comorbidities, meaning life-threatening illnesses.
Underlying
conditions.
A
quarter of 1%. And if you gave them hydroxychloroquine or now maybe Regeneron or all of the things that Donald Trump has funded, we have treatments. You have doctors saying these treatments are working. There's more treatments coming. So this thing is essentially over. But all we have to do is look at Sweden and say before there were treatments, before there was any issue, Sweden kept a death rate that was just slightly higher than their average cold every year. They didn't mask people down. They didn't destroy their economy. They didn't lock down. And now it's the only nation in the world that has no second wave, does not have a death rate, and is up and running and showing the world we should have done what we always did. Remember, when Sweden was doing what they're doing, they were saying, oh, this is a novel approach to the COVID-19 epidemic. No, it's not. They use the exact same approach every single country did since the dawn of man. We are part of an experiment this year. That experiment in the world is, can we hide from a virus? And guess what?
No.
You can't. You can't.
Not. Can't do it.
So whether it's aerosolized, water droplets, it doesn't matter. Everyone's going to get it. And so the smart doctors, we have this great, the great Barrington petition right now is going around. Tens of thousands of scientists, virologists, doctors are now signing on saying there is an approach that works. Let's simply protect the elderly over the age of 65 that have these comorbidities, while those that are healthy that have a less than 0% chance of dying from it step out and get to herd immunity. As it was said by one of the scientists behind this, herd immunity is not a strategy. Herd immunity is a scientific fact. And so it's
going to happen. It's a reality that's achieved through normal living.
It's going to happen no matter what we do. Whether you use vaccines to get there or you use the virus to get there, we have got to get to herd immunity before we lose America, before we lose our strength as an economic power. We are destroying this country over a stupid experiment to see if we could hide from viruses. We have failed.
But even Dr. Scott Atlas, now joining President Trump's team, is starting to tell the truth.
He sure is.
And Fauci is having a problem with that, too. Fauci has a history of doing this, though, right?
Well, Fauci has a history with AIDS. He did a terrible job developing an AIDS vaccine. I mean, the man has been a disaster. But, you know, you've got to give respect to your opponent. This guy has held on to a government medical position for over, I think, 40 years. Since back in the 1980s, that guy has been sitting in that position. So one thing's for sure, he is a great politician because he has survived multiple presidents. And, you know, he has a bit of a Teflon quality, right? When you look at him. He can say, honestly, no matter what the outcome ends up being, I said that because he has said every possible scenario that exists.
All right, let's move to the next step really quick. Do you think that they're going to force vaccines on us? I don't believe they'll hold us down and give us vaccines. What they'll do is tie it to the economy. Do you think?
I think that that's part of what the plan is. I feel really good about the work that I and so many of the vaccine risk awareness movement have done over the last few years. I think we have derailed the forced vaccination program from the federal government. I don't think even Joe Biden, who seemed would have been on the side of that Democratic Party, was definitely lining up as pro-forced vaccine mandate. I think they have so much trouble now with the COVID COVID-19 vaccine and the destruction of confidence in the vaccine program, that what you're going to see is an attempt to use private industry. I think they'll go after airlines, saying, you know, airlines are not going to let you on until you can prove that you've had a vaccination. They'll go after restaurants and things like that. But remember, we have gone just in the last 4 months, a lot of it, the work that many of us have done, we went from 7 in 10 Americans in June saying that they would get a COVID-19 vaccine to now 7 in 10 are saying, no way am I getting that vaccine. That is success. And when you're in that position, I don't think any airline wants to risk losing 70% of their audience because they're not going to vaccinate. I think we're in the right direction. I think we're winning this, but we need everybody to step up now with this momentum. We've got to drop Goliath. Goliath is dizzy. We have gotten a great shot to the jaw, but just like any boxing match or MMA fight you ever watch, it's like, don't stop swinging. We have got to take this thing down now.
Ladies and gentlemen, the new media taking center stage once again. TheHighWire.com is Del Bigtree's latest venture in, what do you call new media video?
Truth.
Truth.
It's the latest venture in truth.
We appreciate you, my friend. Godspeed.
All right, you too.
There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. Del Bigtree doing a phenomenal job as always. He's going to have lunch, and then he's going to take the stage, ladies and gentlemen, at the Red Pill Expo. And if you want to watch his incredible speech, redpillexpo.com, and you can sign up for $35. And, man, you can watch his speech along with all the other speeches for two solid days of incredible patriots standing up for the sacred cause of liberty. And you are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
You know something is wrong when the media, global corporations, and governments are all colluding on a narrative that just doesn't add up. Do you seek truth, no matter where it leads? Want to understand how the world really works? Then take the red pill and register for the Expo of the Year. Come to G. Edward Griffin's Red Pill Expo, October 10th and 11th, on Jekyll Island, Georgia, birthplace of the Federal Reserve. And hear from Del Bigtree, G. Edward Griffin, Dr. Andrew Kaufman, David Icke, Alex Newman, Dr. Bradford Weeks, Sheriff Mack, John Rappaport, Tim Ray, and many more. Register to attend or live stream at home with friends and family at redpillexpo.org. That's redpillexpo.org. Because you know something is wrong.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, happy to have you along. Red Pill Expo live presentations continue. If you missed the Red Pill Expo online originally, live, you can still watch it, folks. RedPillExpo.com. $35 gets you 60 days, all the speeches. I'm telling you right now, you won't miss out. Thanks to Ed Griffin doing a phenomenal job making it available for everybody. That's RedPillExpo.com. In our continued series of guests, Ice Age Farmer with us, ladies and gentlemen. His real name is Christian Resbook. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Thrilled to be here.
So tell me a little bit about how you got started in all this, because I, about 25 years ago, used to interview a guy, and he wrote a book called Not by Fire, But by Ice. Do you remember that guy at all?
Yeah, Robert Felix, absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, that's how I started out learning about this stuff. And at the time, people thought he was just like a heretic, right?
Yeah.
But he's spot on in terms of his understanding of, what do you want to say, manipulated climate change and the reality of what we're facing?
The climate hoaxes, the magnetic reversals, the cycles of the sun that drive climate on this planet, absolutely.
How spot on was Robert?
Robert, I would say he was visionary. He's certainly ahead of his time, and you're right that like most people dismissed what he was talking about at the time.
Yes.
And at more recent conferences, he's getting a better reception. So, yeah, he was just a bit out there.
Now, in his defense, though, I mean, that was what, 20, 25,
exactly,
whatever years ago?
Yeah.
And now we're talking about a lot more knowledge on the topic as well, right?
That's true. And also, you know, we've sort of exited the modern maximum. So things have already started changing on our planet in ways that are noticeable. And that's really started, you know, opening people's eyes to the and their minds to the possibilities that there are other things driving climate on this planet. So I think the conversation has evolved and conditions have changed, and it's just sort of finding its way.
So clue me in, what's noticeable to the average Joe where they're going, things aren't as I've been told, right?
Yeah, so we've definitely seen things like, and the media tends to sensationalize this, you've seen the polar vortex where pockets of cold air up in the Arctic break out below the jet stream. The jet stream in general is weakening, and that means that it becomes more wobbly. And you get
and more wobbly.
Yeah,
right?
You get these pockets of cold air that sort of sneak down. That's known as the polar vortex, and that's,
yes,
of course, bad for crops when you get frosts out of season. And then so too do you get pockets of warm equatorial air sort of sneaking up north. And of course, people point at that and they say, "Oh my gosh, it's global warming." It's a, you know, sort of a cherry picked what they look at there, but. But that's one of the symptoms. And then in general, also the shrinking of the growing seasons on both sides. Last year we saw record prevent plant because of tremendous flooding across the Midwest, and then early blizzards that came through and ended the season early for much of North Dakota into North. Yeah, so it's, so those are the kinds of things you're seeing, tremendous impacts on crop production and things like this.
So when they say there's climate change, I would say that I agree there is climate change. I would disagree on what they try to extrapolate from that, though.
Mm-hmm. Right, because they're...
Do you agree?
Absolutely. Their whole agenda is to point at this and devise a means of control, right? So they're eager to say that it's your fault. They want to flip the blame. That's why they totally eliminate the sun from the equation. They flip the blame onto man, onto you, and that way they can control you. It becomes a lever for control. And as I was talking about today, they've also now extended this into controlling what we eat, because they've established that food is a primary driver, particularly animal-based products. And so the goal here, Sam, is to shut down animal agriculture and to shift us onto insect-based proteins. This is all not...
No more cheeseburgers for you. It's all Impossible Burgers, huh?
Right. That's exactly right. Impossible Burgers and Bug Burgers. And this is all open agendas, you know, things that have been crafted by the UN and the IPCC. In their reports, they're openly describing the need to move people onto insect-based diets, but how it's a problem. We really lack the social capital, the political willpower to get it done. And so they've needed to engineer a series of food crises, and even this coronavirus pandemic playing into it, blaming it on coming from food. You know, even though there's been plenty of information on where it came from, we saw that they were eager to blame bats and food markets and meat markets. And so this whole zoonotic link between the food supply and human health is how they are, part of how they are nudging in and taking over the whole food supply in the name of public health.
And they're like a tick on a dog. They're literally using COVID as the dog, and they're the tick on the dog trying to bring climate change in on the back, right?
That's exactly right.
What do we do? How do we stop them?
Well, my message would be, first of all, start growing food, because they intend to use food as a weapon. We've heard time and time again, you know, from Bertrand Russell, who said diet, injections, and injunctions will conspire to make the kind of pliable human that we can control that won't even be able to attack us back. And then, of course, Kissinger was pretty open when he said, when you control food, you control the people.
Yeah, good old Henry was a communist thug from the get-go. Pretty candid even back in the day, huh?
Pretty alarmingly candid, but mercifully so, because now we can use that to say, yeah, actually they've telegraphed their intentions to use food as a weapon to achieve their ends, and they're doing so now.
All right, where do we go from here? Because we still see a consolidation. When you talk about being the Ice Age farmer, that's a unique position, because, yes, you're calling yourself the Ice Age farmer, but it isn't really about farming in the middle of an ice storm, right?
No, that was more of a recognition at the time that we were entering a new period of solar activity, diminished solar activity that would drive difficult growing seasons on this planet.
And by the way, though, that's natural in nature, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, the sun always
I point that out because I want people to understand the nature of it,
Thank
right?
you. Yeah.
Yes, it's happening, but it isn't some whacked out thing that you burped. The fact is, it's a natural reality in the climate. Always has been, always will be.
That's exactly right. It has nothing
All
to do
right.
with
Keep
cow farts,
sir.
Nothing to do with us or carbon emissions or any of that nonsense. These are natural cycles of the sun, and you can see that by looking back in time, that the sun goes through these periods beyond the 11-year sun cycle of a maximum and minimum. It goes through a grand cycle where you see a period of enhanced maximums like we've enjoyed for the last 90 years, really stable jet streams, really stable growing seasons on this planet, during which, I would add, we actually stood up all of modern agriculture. So all of the monocropping systems that you know today were all crafted in a very stable system, and they're quite delicate, because as soon as these highly bespoke systems encounter any deviations from the threshold, they'll just fall over, as opposed to, you know, indigenous growing methods or regenerative methods, which are naturally more resilient to these kinds of things.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
But no, so the sun goes through these natural cycles, and we've been through them before. The difference is this time we have a ruling elite on us who are actively trying to seize this crisis as an opportunity, as they always do, to take total control over us.
Are they going
to
get it done?
Well, that depends on whether or not enough people spread the word, start growing their own food, and take action to get these tyrants off our back.
Let me ask you this, Christian. Do you know how to grow red pills, sir?
I think we're doing that right now, Sam.
Roger that. Yes, we are indeed. Now, one of the things you talk about that I find fascinating, taking steps daily towards radically self-sufficient communities. This, to me, is intriguing.
Okay, how so?
Well, first off, I believe that society, they're getting climate change mixed with COVID, mixed with riots to push their tyrannical agenda, right?
Uh-huh.
But as they riot, most folks are going to need to create covenant communities or protection communities for self-sufficiency and safety. But when they're all there for safety now, there's not a whole lot to do. They might as well farm. We kind of go back to the Ice Age in a way, but really back to the origination days of our country. People will be able to spend their time preparing their own food, becoming self-sufficient. And I think you've got the key to that exercise.
I think fundamentally, it comes down to dependency. And if you're not, you know, we all have to eat every day. And if you're not growing your own food, then you are depending on someone else to do that for you. And at this point, it looks like most people are depending on these multinational companies who clearly don't have our best interests at heart. And so, yeah, it is time to really take back the power there.
Can it be done everywhere?
Meaning, can you grow? So the question then is, what do you eat, right?
Yeah.
And so there, you know, I know folks in North Dakota who live where there's no rain and they don't have irrigation, and they're just fine because they run a herd of bison and they take one a year and that feeds their family, and so that works great for them. And there are you know, vegetarians for whom that would not work. So it really is the question becomes.
For me, sir, that would work.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Sign me up. Plenty of animal fats, plenty of healthy proteins. But, you know, the question becomes, where do you have community? Where are the people you know and love that can support you, that can, because it's, no one can really do any of this on their own. And then look at your diet and look at what you can grow, where you are or where you're thinking of being, and then see how to marry these things. Where do they meet? And that's really the sweet spot.
Yeah, I bring it up because it's not a one-size-fits-all, is it?
Exactly. That's my point, yeah.
All right. Because I am looking for land in Utah and Idaho, and we've had debates about, you know, when you're above 6,000 feet elevation, what happens versus when you're below, and where's the sweet spot? And if you're above, we need to look at some hydroponics and some greenhouse stuff, and when you're below, it's not as necessary, et cetera.
Yeah, and you can always employ the geothermal greenhouses, which are sort of sunk in the ground a little bit, to, and then have some pipes to circulate air so that you're always pulling in. Even in the summer, you're pulling in cool air from the earth, and in the winter, you're pulling in the warm air from the earth. And so there are ways that you can design systems that are going to be more resilient to any of these climates, whether that's just the way it is or even if climate is changing, this is the way to this is the way forward.
You've got a big following. What are you going to do in the future? Are you going to teach us all how to do it?
Well, I'm absolutely, yeah, that's the point of the channel, is to spread the word about what's going on, share solutions, which I think are regenerative growing methods, and indigenous practices. I interviewed one Hopi Indian who grows tons of beautiful corn out in the middle of Arizona, where there's no rain. The methods there are just amazing. And it's really interesting to hear him speak about how the Hopi, you know, it's impossible for him to talk about cultivation without also referencing spirituality.
Ooh, and this gets into, now you're getting somewhere.
Yeah, I think this gets into the fact that cultivating your own food is really, it's innate to being a human. It's a very important part of what makes us human. And that also plays into, you know, it's not just that we depend on the system to feed us, it's that the system has divorced us from the earth and from what makes us humans. And this also plays, of course, into the transhuman agenda, right, to reshape us into this weird genderless, amorphous.
Well, they want to dumb us down while they save themselves and live forever, supposedly, right?
You nailed it. That's exactly right.
Psychotic as all get out, but nevertheless, I always ask those people whenever I can get a chance to talk to them. They don't like to talk to me long because it gets rough fast, right? but I usually say to them, I say, who's the weatherman?
Who is the weatherman, Sam?
Yeah, the almighty God.
That's right.
And so I look at that and I say, if he's the ultimate weatherman, have we divorced ourselves from nature? I think that's the answer. We've actually taken steps as a society, not you and me personally per se, but we've divorced ourselves as a society, right?
Yeah, and I think you could make the case quite clearly that that is a satanic separation from, you know, God's commandments as we left the garden. By the sweat of your brow, you shall eat. And that's no longer the case. Now we go down to the grocery store, and a lot of people don't think that's a bad thing, but I guess I'm suggesting that it is, and that we need to return to what it is that makes us human.
Well, and Satan has declared war on man, and those people who are declaring war on man, who else are they aligned with?
Who else is Satan aligned with?
No, who are they aligned with? Those people that want to destroy our liberties, they've got to be aligned with Satan himself.
Absolutely.
They've got the same side in the war, right?
Yeah, it is he that they've been channeling for generations now. Yeah, there's no question.
And so we need to really turn to God for solutions. And then as we pray hard and work hard, God will direct our ingenuity and we shall win.
I couldn't agree more, Sam.
All right, what do you want to tell America? First off, what do you think of the red pill? Tell everybody how you liked it. Do you think?
This has been a fantastic weekend. It is really like coming home and being with my family. When I go home to my real family, they kind of look at me crazy. So to come here and be with people that look deeply into reality, share an intellectual thirst for what's going on, and are able to take an honest look at that and really take it in and then say, okay, now what do we do? How does this inform how we're going to respond to reality? Is just totally refreshing. It's a joy to be here.
His name is not Russell. He's not of the NBA. His name is Christian Westbrook. He's the Ice Age Farmer. Give out your website, sir.
That's iceagefarmer.com.
Just like it sounds, all one word.
That's correct.
All right, sir, you got a parting shot for the world?
No, thanks so much, Sam. And you can find my work at iceagefarmer.com, and I look forward to seeing you there.
Well, we, along with many others, will keep an eye on your work, sir, and we're grateful for your leadership and your stand for the sacred cause of liberty.
Thank you so much, Sam.
You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
You know something is wrong when the media, global corporations, and governments are all colluding on a narrative that just doesn't add up. Do you seek truth, no matter where it leads? Want to understand how the world really works? Then take the red pill and register for the Expo of the Year. Come to G. Edward Griffin's Red Pill Expo, October 10th and 11th, on Jekyll Island, Georgia, birthplace of the Federal Reserve. And hear from Del Bigtree, G. Edward Griffin, Dr. Andrew Kaufman, David Icke, Alex Newman, Dr. Bradford Weeks, Sheriff Mack, John Rappaport, Tim Ray, and many more. Register to attend or live stream at home with friends and family at redpillexpo.org. That's redpillexpo.org. Because you know something is wrong.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Liberty Roundtable live from Red Pill Expo. I am telling you right now, this place is packed. It is pumping with all kinds of patriots. I don't know. Is there masks anywhere?
No, we have virtually no masks here, which is great.
You ever heard that Garth Brooks song, Shameless?
Yes.
I think we ought to change it to maskless. What do you think?
Well, that anything to get the mask people off. But, you know, at this point, I think all the Democrats have masks on, so maybe it's kind of a good thing, right? It's a culling of the species.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Denise Mraz. Now, not Jason Mraz. You're not his sister, right?
No, I wish I was. He's a great artist.
Then you'd have actually some cash to carry on our work, huh? Denise Mraz, ladies and gentlemen. And you're the policy director for a politician running for, in Nevada, but on the federal level, the House of Representatives, right?
That's right. So we're running against the communist Dina Titus. And, of course, our campaign just exposed her a few weeks ago for having ties to the KKK.
Ouch.
Yes.
Well, I don't believe in the KKK. I believe we're all God's children and we ought to act like it.
That's right.
What do you think of that?
Well, that, you know, and that's one of our slogans is gold, guns, God, and country. And we are right on cue here at the Red Pill Expo regarding our campaign. This Red Pill Expo has had a huge religious freedom push.
Absolutely. For good reason, I might add.
Absolutely. Well, look, we're all just kind of coming off this whole COVID hoax of having our churches closed. But the bottom line is that no authority can go outside of its creator. And we are the creators of our government. Therefore, we are the created in the image of God, and we created everything here. We're... If you look at it this way, we're the created of the creator and under his moral authority. And it's been such a great theme, and it matches our campaign.
All right. Tell me the politician's name. It's a unique name, right?
It is. So Kamal Bukhari has a very interesting story. About 25 years ago, he was living kind of a, I'll call it a high lifestyle. And he came to God and made life-changing decisions. Well, part of that was, at that time, believe it or not, there were Muslims in our country trying to recruit black Americans, black male Americans that were doing well financially, and he rejected that. But before he rejected it,
let me stop. So they came to him.
Yes.
For recruitment, right?
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah, and then Kamal, he actually changed his name to Kamal Bukhari, but his family had been here for 13 generations. They were brought here as slaves to Arkansas, worked on farms, and then eventually made their way to Nevada. He was born in Nevada in 1941. But the bottom line is that the Muslims were here. He changed his name to Kamal Bukhari, and he was actually thinking about becoming Islamic because he was being recruited by Islam. But then he figured out that it was not a good thing, and he didn't know all the reasons, because let's face it, who knew even in 2015 and 16 that the Muslims had infiltrated our country?
Sam Bushman did.
Yes, Sam Bushman.
But I'm with you.
Right. So anyway, he went to, Christianity, and he became a Christian man. And
okay, so when you say he went to, he first investigated,
yes,
and then he embraced.
Right.
Okay.
And so now he's a Christian, and he's running for Congress because he's a 40-year political activist, and he has seen two wings of the same bird. In fact, in 2014...
Ooh, Pat Buchanan-esque, huh?
Yeah. 2014, the GOP in Nevada decided to remove Defense of Life from their platform.
Which they, in my opinion, jettisoned the whole core.
Exactly. And so that was happening all across the country, but it happened in Nevada. And he,
sad but true.
Right. So he had said, politically, if you do this, I'm going over to the Constitution Party, the Independent American Party. And that's what he did.
Understood. I'm very heavily involved in the Constitution Party and the Independent American Party. And I've interviewed leaders from that party. Jim Clymer, one of the leaders of the party. Scott Bradley, another one of the leaders of the party. Common guests on my broadcast as well.
And you know what? I'm a Republican. I stay in the Republican Party because...
We'll pray for you.
Well, thank you. but, you know, they are... It is a criminal organization like all the other parties. The problem is that in Nevada, right now, the most conservative people we have is in our Republican Party. And, of course, Trump's a Republican. So if we want to kind of be in the flow, we got to... Got
to
be there.
Yeah, there's some truth to that. It's sad to say, but it is true that, you know, there's a debate about whether you should try to reform the Republican Party from within. Others are saying, no, the only way is the third party. The debate rages on. I see the value in both efforts. We all got to work where we can and make the biggest difference we can. ElectBakari.com is the website, right?
Yes.
All right, give me a little more on his platform. Obviously, he's pro-Christian, pro-God. Obviously, pro-guns.
Oh, yeah. Pro-life. And, you know, a major part of our platform is make mining American again. So in Nevada, we have a very special situation in that 91% of our lands are federally managed. And that was by the BLM.
That's however, brutal. Yes.
Yeah, 6 months, well, about 6 weeks ago, the EPA, which Trump does have a hold of because he has a good appointee there, we have essentially neutered the BLM from managing our lands with mining claims, and it's now gone over to the EPA. And I'm just so thrilled by that because they opened up a new office.
And by the way, it's not enough, but it's an incredible step in the right direction.
Yes, right. And the BLM, of course, you know, was kicked out of Washington. They moved over to Glenwood Springs, Colorado, as kind of like a next step to their last step. But the office
hoping to remain relevant is what they're trying to do.
They're trying, right. The Office of Mountain, Deserts, and Plains, and that's now where all of the mining activity is going to be managed out of, and that's a great thing because now we can stop China from taking all of our mining claims, which they have been. That China has infiltrated mining to the point where they had even purchased the bankrupted Mountain Pass REM plant, which is on the border of Nevada and California near my home. And what they were doing is taking the rare earth minerals from mine tailings, putting them in containers, and then shipping them over to China and processing them.
Which is insane.
Yeah. And they basically stole all of our rare earth minerals. Now, Trump has put a stopgap on that. In 2018, he signed an executive order for critical rare earth minerals. And then based on that and riding on that, he has added other stopgaps since. But the bottom line is now at least we have a chance to start processing our own rare earth minerals. And now we can get into our own manufacturing for satellites, electronics, and, you know, all the other things we need.
Believe it or not, most people don't understand this. The groundwork is being laid, huh?
It is. And, you know, the sad part is, for you and I, if we just listen to mainstream media, we'll never pick up any of this. But because I read whitehouse.gov every single day, all the news that we need is right there, and there's no spin to it. You can just read it. It's,
yeah, the president just lays down what he's doing. And
yes,
at first, when you hear something the president's doing, you go, what? And but then when you read it, you go, I get it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, the nice thing is these documents are very simple. They're straightforward. And if you can read at, you know, a sixth or seventh grade level, then you'll likely pick up all the information.
ElectBakari.com is the website, ladies and gentlemen. So does Mr. Bakari support Donald Trump?
Absolutely. In fact, it's on the back of our business cards. And as you know, the three tenets of commerce in America and our economics are agriculture, mining, and manufacturing. And on the back of the card, we do have that picture of the Trump train. And what we did is said, you know, we're going to target growing our economy in those three big areas. And first thing, though, we got to get it away from deep state. Deep state still has their claws all around agriculture in particular, but mining and manufacturing.
What does Mr. Bakari do for a living right now?
So he's an electrical contractor and has been so for 23 years, has a wonderful reputation in the community, but he's been a political activist for over 40 years. So when he originally was in the electrical union, he was a Democrat, saw that that wasn't the way to go, then went over to the GOP for 19 years. But then, like I said, in 2014, they nixed Defense of Life from the platform, and they decided at that time that, you know, he was going to part ways. And so here he is in the Independent American Party, black conservative, if we win and we are on our way to a victory, we'll not only deny the communist a seat in the House, but we'll be the first national IEP person to have ever unseated an incumbent Democrat.
Now, let me understand something, because there's a little bit of a difference. A lot of people understand the IAP, the Independent American Party, nationally. But in Nevada, it's a little bit of a weird twist. It's slightly different, right?
Yes, because the Hansons are the...
Yeah, Janine?
Yes, Janine, who's she's magnificent.
Yes,
and her brother, Joel, too, is...
Yes.
I mean, these people are powerhouse intellects. They have been driving Nevada, the Nevada Liberty Network, for years.
Forever, right.
Yes. And, you know, they don't give up. They're ranchers initially. That's how the Hansons got started in Nevada. But they are the ones fighting for family freedom, for pro-life, for all the liberty tenets that we need. And they are the ones that they haven't necessarily grown the party, but they have directed the party. And, you know, hopefully we can get some
people
in
there. They've
actually
kept the party alive, really.
Yes, they have. And, you know, Janine runs for quite a few seats. And in the past, the IEP has, I'll call it, split the vote, the conservative vote, between two good candidates.
Yeah, and because it used to be the Constitution Party, used to be the U.S. Taxpayer Party. There's a little bit of a history there, is the point.
Yeah, there is. And so now, though, with this particular race, what's so exciting about it is the GOP for 10 years has left this particular communist, Dina Titus, alone. And
which is an absolute fiasco.
It totally is. And the GOP has not sent a good challenger, a challenger strong enough to even mount any kind of, you know, effort against Dina Titus. But when Kamau came in, we have to look at the demographics of our district, and the demographics all point to the fact that they like Kamau. He's a regular guy. He's a black conservative. We've got a large minority base, but he's also pro-family. And the Latinos of our district are family-based. So we've got a shot at this.
So do you know where the polling numbers look now?
Our polling numbers have been excellent. With polling with the Democrats, 53% of Democrats have indicated that they're voting other this congressional.
Ooh, that's huge.
I know. And I think it's the COVID-19. So we have a couple of things going on in Nevada. 2 years ago, we have a legislative session. It's a citizens' legislature that only meets every other year.
Yes.
Well,
in fact, I went and testified before them in Nevada over land rights.
Oh,
anyway.
Yeah. Okay, so you know. Well, the exciting thing about this is the COVID-19 has turned the Democrats against the Democrat Party, because they have set them up, and now they're coming in for a
full blow. They realize now they're on a suicide mission.
Yes,
huh?
And they have set up a mileage tax. Well, in Nevada, a lot of people commute back and forth.
Oh, yeah, the mileage is huge.
It is, because, you know, there's a lot of space between L.A. and California, and, it, you know, you've got a lot of desert road. So this mileage tax coming up is going to be a huge chunk out of people's, you know, take-home pay, and the Democrats did that.
Yeah, you could talk all day, but when you hit my wallet now.
Yeah, right, and people are voting with their wallets. They're being a lot smarter about it. So I think the combination of things going on right now, the pandemic with also the mileage tax, have turned Democrats away from the Democrat. But what's really exciting is that the GOP challenger is no challenger at all. This is the third time she's run. She's basically a placeholder. And she has not a single sign. She doesn't market at all. She has not made one event.
All we got to do is get her to endorse Bakari, right?
We would love to, but we know she won't. We don't need her endorsement, though, and we don't want it. Here's why. She's sent out 3 YouTubes. That's the only thing she's done this entire election cycle, is made these YouTubes.
Maybe she's trying to run a stealth campaign.
Well, that would be great, right? That would be very smart to run an Operation Silent campaign, except that she has the titles of her YouTubes misspelled.
Ouch.
And it's... Happy Independence Day, which is misspelled. She has Happy Labor Day, that's misspelled, and so was Memorial Day.
It's almost like you wonder if it's on purpose.
Exactly. And so the bottom line is, you know, Joyce is a very nice person, but Kamau is has far more energy, and you know, he can do this, and he wants to do it. But you know, he's never been to Washington.
Yeah, well, that's a blessing as well. They used to mock Trump for that. Now they kind of have a different view, right?
Yes,
so
exactly.
We need outside people that understand business, that understand life, that actually worked for a living, that actually understand other cultures a little bit, that bring us together in meaningful ways. I mean, that's all relevant and valuable for sure. So how's the media being to Bakari?
So we've been a big hit on independent media, but as far as the mainstream media, of course, they're totally ignoring us. But, you know, we expect that in this time. And, you know, our goal is to just basically have, we have blanketed our district over and over with our presence, with our signage. We have a leafletting program. We've got a walking program. And the Democrats have nothing. So I think with all of the forces at work, we've got a real shot at this.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's so many candidates. You got to get caught up on them, and you got to do all you can to see them become successful. We need Donald Trump supporters in the House of Representatives. Do you think we can take the House back?
Well, if we get Dina Titus out of there, we'll be doing our job. In fact, in Nevada, there's only 4 seats because, you know, we have a low population. And
relatively, yes.
Yes, and so Mark Amaday, his seat seems very secure, and he's an incumbent, a Republican incumbent. But we've got 2 other seats going with Horsford and Lee. And who knows what will happen in those races. But if we can at least grab one of those. But let's remember that Kamau Bakari, if he hits this home run, it'll be the biggest upset in all of America. So I'm really stoked for it, and I think we're on our way there. And like you said, getting the Trump supporters in there is the most important thing of all.
Denise Mraz, ladies and gentlemen. She's the policy director for Bakari in Nevada. That's what you got to remember, Bakari,
yes.
Nevada, House, win, okay? That's what you got to remember. And the website for you to learn more and get involved, electbakari.com, right?
That's right.
Anything else you want to say to America?
I would say send the guy $40 or $50 if you can. If not, at least send a friend in Nevada a nudge to vote for him and why. Hopefully they've heard about us and even met Kamau. He's at every rally, every event, every no mask pack. I mean, we are really out there for the people. And the first thing he wants to do is get to work in Congress in clearing out and unwinding these 140 years of bad laws.
Oh, boy, do we got a lot of work ahead of us, ladies and gentlemen. But he's just the man to do it. Have him call me. We'll put him on the radio, okay?
That sounds great. And remember, Marbury versus Madison, all laws repugnant to the Constitution are null and void, and we try to remind people that as much as possible.
electbakari.com. Denise, thank you.
Thank you, Sam.
Ladies and gentlemen, Liberty Roundtable Live.